Good morning and welcome to Radio Rehab. Your host this morning will be Miss Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Warrick County Court Substance Abuse Program. Like all our talk programs, we encourage you to call in to 424-1400 or 1-888-846-7867. This is a brand new program that we hope you'll definitely enjoy. And now, Radio Rehab with Lisa Seif.
Good morning, everybody. What an honor, number one, to have a show called Radio Rehab and to follow the Black Chew Dialogues and to have them in Evansville, Indiana, going around every area of our community talking about diversity and how we need to get along better, neighbor to a neighbor. We can't talk enough about that. And Radio Rehab follows that tone because what we're talking about here are people afflicted with addictive disorders and co-occurring disorders, depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder. My goodness, there's so many different kinds of health-related issues that we could talk about. But our specialty here at Radio Rehab is to talk about substance abuse and addictive disorders. So every week, you all tune in, and we're grateful that you do, because we have people come and talk to us from all different, talk about diversity, all different ages, genders, races, socioeconomic backgrounds, to talk to us and share with us about their recovery and their problems with substances or with depression, whatever it is that hurts their heart and the people that love them. And they come here and share with us, hopefully to educate us, to get a conversation going so we can better understand how to empower people that have drug or alcohol problems, how to continue working with them and hanging with them and giving them hope. So Radio Rehab tries every week on Saturday, 1400 a.m., to address those issues. If you want to call in, please do, 424-1400. Our experts are always open, honest, and willing to talk to the community about anything. Nothing's below the belt, so feel free to call at any time. And Mr. Landers just made it possible for this show to be on the Internet. So if you go to 1400 AM, WEOA.com on the Internet, you would be able to hear it on the Internet as well if you live outside of our listening area. All right, I think that's all I want to say for right now, because our expert that's visiting today is a young person, and I think it's important we listen more to what the young people have to say about their world. Sometimes we spend too much time talking and not listening to them. And this young girl has gained, Jane's visiting in the Radio Rehab arena today too, and we were talking about how we respect Chloe because she's got 90 days clean and sober, 100% abstinent from drugs and alcohol, and that's an incredible landmark for a teenager. You know, we adults can avoid alcohol. We don't have to go to the bars. We can avoid drugs. We don't have to associate with people that use drugs, but young people, it's in their world. It's in their neighborhoods. It's in their schools, unfortunately, and a lot of them, it's in their homes. So my hat is off to Chloe, and she's going to tell us her story today and teach us a little, hopefully, about what we need to do so we can help with the young culture as well and understand what makes them tick and how we can do better at listening and reaching out to them. I know I talk to parents every day, Chloe, that are just brokenhearted because their kids won't stop. And maybe you can answer to that today, how we can help parents a little better. Anyway, hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thank you for coming. I know you're a nervous wreck.
Yes.
Oh. Well, you still look good even when you're nervous. And Jane, thank you for coming and being with us.
You're welcome.
A friend of the show who has two sons herself. So, Chloe, tell us a little about you. Where were you born and raised?
I was born in Evansville, Indiana. I don't know what hospital I was born in, but...
but you're sure it was a hospital, right?
Yeah. When I was little, like, my parents got a divorce when I was about 8 years old, I think, and I lived with them both, and then I started living with just my dad, and then I moved in with my mom, and I've lived with my mom and my stepdad and two of my brothers for about... since I was 13 years old, but I had a good childhood and everything. My parents weren't on drugs. They drink occasionally, but it's nothing big. But I had a good childhood and everything. It's just the people I was around influenced me. So,
how does that happen? Is it because, you know, You had parents that were watching. So how does a young person like you, who obviously had opportunity, had four ears and eyes watching every move you make, how did that happen that you ended up trying drugs?
Well, I did good all the way up until about my eighth grade summer going into freshman year.
So that was a turning point for you?
Yeah.
High school?
It wasn't even the high school part. It was, I had an older brother who had a bunch of friends who I wanted to fit in with and everything. So, and one of his friends became my boyfriend, and I started doing everything that they would do and everything. So
he was older than you?
Yeah, he was about 2 years older than me.
So is this something we should talk to parents about when Jane and I go and talk at universities and talk to parents? Should we mention, be careful that your children aren't hanging out with older siblings and their friends?
I think definitely, but I mean, they can't really stop. Like my dad tried stopping me from hanging out with my older brother, with his friends and everything, but there's always a way that they could find, you know, a way to hang out with them. But
it's a risk.
Yeah,
when
definitely.
Your kids are hanging out with older peers. So that was your first experience then with, what was it with?
It was with marijuana, and I actually called my mom and told her that I had gotten high. And I got grounded for quite a while.
I love it. Jane, do you do that to your kids? Ground them for a year.
No.
No, you don't do that.
No.
Love it when we talk to parents? How long did you ground them? For a year. Wow, who's really getting punished there?
That's exactly why. Then it's my punishment.
Yeah.
You know, they have to make their mistakes and have a consequence that's
realistic.
I guess.
Yeah.
For sure.
So you got grounded, but you told your mom you were honest about it.
Yeah, that was about the only time I was honest.
From then on, it was a big lie.
For about 4 years, that was the only time I was honest. Yeah.
So did you, you were honest with her about your first experience, which is an incredible compliment to your mother,
right,
that you could be honest with her, but why not after? Was it because you did have such a bad consequence that
it
makes kids not want to go get honest again?
It wasn't even I guess it was partly about the consequence, but just I started doing it all the time. I started going to parties and everything, and I just like got on the habit of lying everything I said was basically a lie. Like I would tell her I was going somewhere to a friend's house and that I was sleeping when really I was at a party. So
once pot hit your life, the lie followed quickly after.
Yeah.
That's so common.
It
you know,
is.
That's what,
the lie.
That's what we perfect the art of deception in order to stay in our addictions.
Mm.
Because if you really knew how much I used.
Oh, that's true. Wow.
You know.
The whole world would cave in if they really knew how much she used.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you tell your mom the first time out of fear?
It was out of fear. I was telling Lisa how it was just, I didn't even know what was going on. Like, I just felt so weird, and I really thought I was dying. Like, I had never been high before. I really don't even think I'd ever been drunk before. Like, it was just the weirdest feeling. So
it wasn't a pleasurable experience.
No.
So why'd you do it again?
To fit in.
Mm-hmm.
So when we want to understand young people, especially at that age, fitting in is probably more important than survival.
Yeah. I would have done anything to fit in with some of the people that I hung out with. Anything. I would have gone to jail probably for them.
No kidding. Well, you almost did. Well, you did.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, I'm sorry. We were interrupting. God, I have so many questions. You probably do, too. We have a young person here today that's 17. So, go ahead. Yeah. So, then you went back and started smoking pot and lying all the time.
Yeah. And I got expelled my freshman year, the first semester, for it wasn't even about drugs, really. It wasn't like a constant thing then, but I got expelled then for fighting and skipping school. And about my second semester, I started going to another high school and just hanging out with people. I started getting addicted to pills and doing them almost every day. My mom would ask me what was wrong. I would just tell her I had a stomach ache or something.
So immediately from the pot, you went to the pills. And so it was equal opportunity substance abuser almost.
Yeah.
Do you think that's common with kids that smoke a lot of marijuana?
Yeah, I thought I would never get into the drugs. Some of the drugs that I got into, I would think that would never have happened to me, but after hanging out with people who I wanted to fit in with, I would have done anything, like I said. So.
Plus, when you're impaired or in an altered state already and something comes around, you're going to use it.
And that's the other thing that we hear in the rooms all the time. The bar of the things that you say you would never do keeps getting lowered and lowered and lowered. Yeah, it's.
I can't imagine her fighting, though. Can you?
Well, when you talked about expulsion, I just thought, you know, that goes hand in hand as our disease progresses. We morph into people that are nothing of what of whom we really are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you do things, you say things that
aren't
you
really
normally
you.
Wouldn't.
Yeah.
Clean and sober. Did you notice that about yourself, that you were turning into this person who you weren't a fighter, you weren't a truant?
Definitely. Like, my anger, my mom tells people how, like, my anger was so bad, but I don't even think anybody understands. Like, I would go home, my mom would say something that I didn't like, and I would just, like, wail off and just punch something. Like, anything that was around, I would just hit something. I would try to break anything. It was horrible. Like, and it had nothing to do with my parents. It was just...
So your life became unmanageable very quickly.
Yeah.
Did you know?
I didn't know up until about last year. Not even last year, about 5 months ago.
You didn't recognize the unmanageability or things you were losing?
No.
No kidding. So the drug takes over and you don't even see reality ever again until you get sober.
Like, I realized that I was doing bad stuff, but I didn't care. There was nobody that was going to stop me.
Hmm.
I was arrested my first time when I was about 14, and...
By the cops?
Yeah.
And that wasn't enough?
No.
You know, that's the thing, love and consequences.
Mm. Love and limits.
Isn't enough for us.
Not for an addict.
It's, you know...
So the things that normally work to shape behavior don't really do it when there's an addictive disorder.
If love and consequences were enough, I wouldn't be 48 years old.
Exactly.
And just now addressing my
addiction. That's true, good point.
You know?
So for parents out there listening, love and consequence, yeah, you can't ignore it, right, Chloe? They couldn't ignore it, but
no.
That isn't going to cure an addictive disorder.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you went more and more out of control, became somebody you didn't even know anymore, but you were so in it by then.
I was leaving my, like, I would run away. My parents would, the first time I ran away was before I got expelled. My parents would put missing posters everywhere, all over Evansville and Newburgh, everywhere.
So they didn't even know where you were?
No. The longest I had ever been gone was like 2 weeks.
Oh, my gosh.
And they would put them up for me, and I didn't even care. Like, I would just leave while they were sleeping, or I would leave any time. Everything would be going good at home, and I would just leave.
And not have any concern or regard for how worried they were about you.
No.
Just stoned out of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And pills by then.
Yeah.
What kind of pills?
I was on Ritalin. I would take about 7 of those and feel like I was dying. And the next morning, I was just, like, I would not even want to wake up because I knew it would just be horrible. But I just kept taking them over and over and over again.
So you were speeding.
Yeah. And... by my sophomore year, I got into Vyvanse, and I was taking those every single day, and it was horrible. Like, I don't even remember how many, I couldn't even tell you how many pills I took a day.
So you weren't taking them as prescribed?
No, I was never prescribed to those pills, yeah.
other pills besides the stimulants?
I didn't ever take any of these, but I stole a whole script of Lortabs. I had taken them before, but this time I stole a whole script of Lortabs from my house, and I sold them, and I gave them away and everything, and, like,
jeez.
I probably got $10 because people just, like, kept taking them. Like, it was stupid. I would just take things from my parents. I didn't care.
So the pills plus the pot... just made you a person you didn't even recognize.
Yeah.
Do you think once you added the pills to the marijuana fog, do you think that made you a meaner person? Because I think when you start using the drugs like that, it does really make you a mean person sometimes to live with.
Yeah. My junior year, I started getting into even worse and harder drugs, and that's when my temper, like, really went, like, out of control. Like, it was horrible at that point.
You were violent, huh?
Yeah, and it, like, I didn't, like, I've put my hands on my mom, but it was more like I would threaten her, and I would say, like, horrible things to her and my stepdad, my brothers, my little brothers. I would say just mean things all the time. I didn't care.
How did it affect your stepfather? I mean, a mom will love you no matter what, but sometimes a step-parent isn't liking that stuff too much.
My stepdad has been in my life since my mom and my dad got a divorce since I was about 8 years old, and I consider him as my dad, and he considers me, like, whenever he's talking about me, he doesn't say, like, stepdaughter, he says daughter.
Oh, so. I know. I could tell last night when you talked to the kids at McGarry, he was just swelled up with pride and admiration for you. So, but sometimes a step-parent, or maybe it's just a dad in general, they don't put up with it
like
mother will.
He was actually more easygoing than my mom sometimes.
Oh,
but
really?
Then if, like, he got fed up, like, he would bottle stuff in, and when he got fed up, like, he would just, like, he never was violent. Like, he never got violent or anything. He would just, like, yell, and then I would start screaming. It would just be a big screaming match in between all of us, and then, like, my mom would start crying, and I wouldn't care. Like, I would just walk off, slam my door, and leave or something.
Jeez, you really were a whole different person.
Yeah.
And I think that happens when teenagers start to use. It affects their personality immediately. They become a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde immediately.
Yeah.
Plus, you're messing with dope and other people and other drugs. You don't know what that does in your body. Wow. So what happened then? You were fighting. You were lying. You were an animal to live with. You held the family hostage. You didn't know what was going on. So how long did that go on?
About every other week I was getting sent somewhere. I would either get sent to Cross Point. There was a kind of like a youth home in Boonville, and it's called the Harbor House. I would either get sent there, or, like, there was just so many places. But then 2009, August 28th, I had run away. This is the longest I had ever run away. And my parents had found me on Klonopins and Xanaxes, and I was completely passed out. Like, I passed out all the way to Louisiana for 14 hours. I was completely blacked out. I don't remember anything. And when we got there, they told me I was staying there, and I would be there for a long time. So.
Good God, you were a gangster girl. Radio Rehab, don't go away. We have to take a break. We'll be right back after we hear a little bit from our sponsors. Again, if you want to call and ask Chloe, we have some great experts here today. 424-1400. We'll be right back.
As a pizza delivery guy, it's my job to deliver your pizza in 30 minutes or it's free.
Turn left ahead.
If I don't, my boss isn't happy. So I rely on the right guidance to get me where I need to go.
Turn left now.
I feel the same about my taxes. TurboTax has a unique GPS feature that guides me step by step. It automatically double checks along the way, which helps me know it's done right and get my maximum refund guaranteed.
Try it online now at TurboTax.com. Choose easy. Money back guarantee details at TurboTax.com.
It's just a simple tube of ChapStick, or is it?
I never leave home without ChapStick. I always have at least one in my purse, one by my bed, one in my pocket, and I try to always keep at least one in my car so that I know I will always have my ChapStick.
Losing it is bad, but forgetting it in the dryer is the worst. It's like, no, what have I done to my ChapStick?
I just think it makes my lips prettier. It's like, I put ChapStick on and I smile more.
I don't know.
Healthy lips should never go naked. When did you fall in love with ChapStick? Join us on Facebook to share the love.
All you ladies out there, this announcement pertains to you, so listen up. Every 9.5 minutes, someone in the U.S. is infected with HIV. Did you know that HIV/AIDS is the leading cause of death for African-American women ages 25 to 34? Among women living with HIV/AIDS, 64% are black. HIV, the virus that causes AIDS, has no symptoms. Many women and their partners are walking around with the virus as I speak to you this minute, and don't even know it. This could be you. To find the nearest testing site and your HIV status, go to www.9.5minutes.org. Respect yourself. Protect yourself. Test yourself. This ad is sponsored by the Vanderburgh County Health Department through a grant from the Indiana State Department of Health.
It's Ashley Furniture Home Store in Evansville's 14-piece package sale. For a limited time, choose either a 14-piece living room or 14-piece bedroom package for only $12.99. That's a $495 savings. Hundreds of packages are available. Plus, get special 12-month no-interest financing. It's Ashley Furniture Home Store in Evansville's 14-piece living room and bedroom package sale going on now. Sleep better tonight. Every Sealy and Simmons mattress set on sale now at Ashley Furniture Home Store, located on North Green River Road at Morgan Avenue in Evansville.
You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400, or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
We're back with Chloe, our 17-year-old expert here today, and Jane and I are just like going crazy wanting to ask her and dig in her brain to understand a 17-year-old. And we were just talking at break about counseling and testing, and she was saying she's been psych tested from the best, from sea to shining sea, psych tests, counseling, but she was still wanting that buzz. So coming back to that, Chloe, so where in all this insanity did counseling begin, and did any of it, you know, your counselor just texted and said you're doing a good job, by the way, Mary Lou, and I know that working with her became effective for you.
Yeah.
But before that,
well, I started seeing, I don't even remember counselors before Mary Lou.
You were in a blackout from the age 15 to now.
I started seeing Mary Lou about 2.5 years ago, I think, but just like I was so like into my drugs and everything, I didn't, when she would ask, like, I would about fall asleep in her office every single time. Like, I would yawn. She could tell you that, too. Like,
and she probably knew you were using.
I would keep looking at the clock and everything, just waiting to get out of there. But now it's, like, completely different. Like,
well,
I
she never gave
her
up on you.
Yeah.
So you had been working with somebody, but, well, they were working with you. You weren't working with them. Yeah.
When did you get honest with your therapy? Because, you know, sending addicts and alcoholics to a therapist is like sending a snake to a chiropractor. I mean, you know, we don't know the truth from the false, you know.
It's
and we can lie to
somebody.
Anyone, you know, and we do. When did you get, I mean, at what point did you get honest with Mary Lou?
I don't even know if I got, well, okay. I was seeing somebody else in her building, too, for, like, my medicine and everything, and because I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, like, when I was 14, we found
that's
out wasn't.
The diagnosis du jour.
Yeah, we found out that wasn't.
But addicts look bipolar, let's face it.
Dr. General,
I could see where somebody you'd look bipolar to somebody you're only seeing an hour a week.
Mm-hmm. But I would get drug tests and I would fail them every single time.
Oh,
and I would tell them, I don't know why I failed that. I don't know. I never even touched drugs. I don't know why I failed that drug test. And they would like.
Such great liars, aren't they?
Yeah. But
and you teenagers, we want to believe you so desperately that.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't.
Trust the drug test. Parents that are out there, counselors, psychiatrists, trust the drug test. Science won't lie. The addict will.
Yeah, exactly. But when I got sent to Louisiana, I was there for 9 months, and I started becoming honest there. And whenever I got out, I was clean for 9 months there. But I had to be clean. Like, I wasn't, I had no contact. Like, I saw my parents.
Was that a treatment program?
It was like, it was an all-girls school, and it was like a lockdown facility. It wasn't like jail or anything like that. It was just like to help people out, I guess. But girls
teenagers?
And when I got out of there, I was doing good and everything, but then I just started doing the same thing.
Mm. So you were okay in that environment, but once you came home, back to the friends.
I kind of knew when I was in there that I was... Like, I thought I was going to do good, but then again, I was like, well, if I just smoke, like, one more cigarette, or if I just smoke a joint, or whatever, then that'll be, like, it won't lead into anything, but it did. Like, as soon as I got out, 2 months later, I was doing the same stuff.
Jeez, isn't that what we see so much with the young people?
And
the pot, they think they,
they
think they can smoke a little pot.
Right.
I won't do the pills. Right. I won't do the powders. I won't drink, but a little pot?
Mm-hmm.
So that was your relapse every time, going back to smoking some pot?
No, I actually didn't even, before I got sent to Louisiana, I was into, like, way harder drugs than just pills and weed, but whenever I got out of Louisiana, I was just, like, I would smoke weed, but then I just started, like, getting into harder drugs, and my temper would come back, and I would be, like, a completely different person.
There you go again. Like Jane said, Jekyll and Hyde. So how did you, I guess you ran away. How did you even communicate with your family?
I think my mom kind of knew. I think my mom always kind of knew I was on drugs, but she didn't want to believe it just because, like, I'm her only daughter. I'm the oldest, and she just, like, me and her are really close, and she didn't want to believe it. But whenever I ran away one time, I called her, and I had been up for about 2 days, I guess, and I called her, and I went home, and my whole body went numb. I couldn't open my mouth. She wanted to take me to St. Mary's, but I didn't want to go. But just, like, my whole body was just numb and everything, and that should have been an eye-opener for me, but it wasn't. So, I really think that I was
hitting bottom then.
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds like it. Your body was shutting down, literally. Like a little garbage can for a few years, huh? Just putting all kinds of crap
the
in there.
The people that we drag into our addictions, your mother, your siblings, your dad, my sons, you know, they want, every time we tell them that's the last time, they really want to believe that.
Yeah.
And she wanted to believe. I can tell you from a parent's perspective, you know, more than anything you want to believe.
Yeah.
Your children.
And you do believe in them.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't understand that
and
this
just
other
like my
person.
My sons wanted to believe that was, you know, each time I'd say I'm not going to drink anymore. Mm-hmm. And I meant it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. I meant it. And
the broken promises, yeah.
It's, you know, you don't remember a hangover from less than 8 hours ago and you start back the same thing. You know, they wanted to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Your mom wanted to believe it. The people that love us want to believe that we're just going to stop.
Yeah.
Even when the evidence surmounts and shows otherwise, the families go in denial too. Just like the addict is in denial that you can smoke pot moderately, the family's in denial too. Well, maybe she will be okay. Maybe that will be all, you know.
Maybe that's enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the whole system.
Yeah, and you know, Lisa, you could talk to that. I mean, your addiction, my addiction, it's not just, we think we're just hurting ourselves.
Ooh, yeah.
It affects everyone who has the misfortune of having to live with us at that time.
But I think we have to get, and Chloe, you can say something to this too. I agree what Jane said, but it's almost like we have to get clean and sober long enough to see the wreckage we caused.
Because
coming in, we're defensive and defiant. And it's like, I only hurt myself. Why can't you trust me now?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't you forgive me? So do you guys see you have to kind of rebuild that?
Oh, yeah.
The longer you're clean, you've been clean 90 days now. Is it becoming more and more clear to you the damage and wreckage that your addiction caused the family?
Yeah, I think that was actually clear to me whenever I had first got, like when this time when I had first gotten clean because just like whenever I got out of DOC, my mom just, like, I could tell she wanted to believe me. Like, I told her every single time I got out of somewhere, I'm going to stop running away. I'm going to stop using drugs and everything. But when I got out of DOC, I told her, I was like, I'm going to do something different. And I did, and I've been clean ever since I got out of, like, before I got sent to DOC. I've been clean since then, so.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So you got, the law intervened.
Yeah. The law's been intervening in my life since I was like 14. But
she's
it got,
a true honor student. Yes, Your Honor. No, Your Honor.
It got worse by like this last year or so.
What happened?
They were just fed up with me. I got sent to Vincennes, and
is that a girls' school?
It's a juvenile. It's there's boys and girls there.
Oh.
And I sat in a room, which is just like a jail cell, for 23 hours a day. Got out to walk around in a gym for an hour. And
by yourself? You were by yourself?
No. I got to walk. It's just like,
kiddie.
I'm just trying to make it, like, it's not
it's
fun at
jail.
All.
It's kiddie jail.
Yeah. And when I got sent to, They let me get off on house arrest when I got out of Vincennes. And
how long were you in Vincennes?
I think I was there for about 2 days, maybe three. Mm-hmm. But when I got out, I did good for about a week. And then I got sent to DOC, which is Department of Corrections, which is just like jail. They tell you when you eat. They tell you when you sleep.
So
they
it's
tell
like a boot camp.
When you use the bathroom.
Where's
like,
that?
Well, they have a bunch of them. I went to the one in Madison, Indiana. Mm. And it's just like there's girls there. Like I was talking about it last night. There's girls there that have murdered people. And I'm there for like running away and drugs. And I'm mm-hmm. like I told the kids last night, like I was looking stupid in there. Like there's girls who have actually killed people. And ooh. I was in there for like
you were mixed in with the murderers?
Like I wasn't on a different unit than them.
But it
but
houses
still.
The homicide.
Yeah, like they can still see me. I can still see them and everything.
So do they do any counseling in there? Or?
I was only there for 2 weeks, but if you go into the program, like you actually stay and have to do time there, then I think they give you counseling. But it's just like the girls there were so crazy. I don't see how anybody could, I don't know. It's just.
So that got your attention, though?
Yeah. And I don't know why, just because I've got sent to so many other places, been taken away from my family. There was just like these girls in there were so like. It went down to the age of 12 years old all the way up to the age of 22. Like, those girls did not care at all, and I knew I didn't want to be like that, so I knew I was going to change, and I would have to prove it before anybody believed me.
Sure. That's one of the recovery things we have to realize in recovery. We have to allow people to be skeptical of us.
Yeah.
So that was your reality check, seeing these other girls and how hardened they'd become.
Yeah.
You sat there and thought, I don't want to get that hard about people and life. And,
yeah. And wow. I knew that before, like, I knew that I couldn't hang out with the same people if I was going to change my
true.
Life, but I didn't ever care enough to stop hanging out with them. But I have just a couple people I hang out with now, and that's what it's going to stay to, because I'm not going to let those people affect me, because when I was in jail, those people didn't care. They didn't write me. They didn't ask my mom where I was or anything, so.
So you've had to cut the cord from your peers.
Yeah.
And that's another tough thing for a teenager.
I think that's a huge thing. I mean, as an adult,
yeah.
We know that you have to kind of change your associations. But I think it would be more difficult for a teenager mm-hmm. to be told they have to change their friends. I think that would be met with a lot of resistance.
Definitely.
Because that's right. They gain so much of your identity with your peer group.
And wanting to fit in, like
yeah.
you said.
Sure. But we were talking before the show, the longer you're sober, you'll see that there's a natural transgression where mm-hmm. your circle of friends are people who are living a life that you want to live.
Yeah.
And you know what's inspiring to me, too, Chloe, real quick? The woman that you reached out to in recovery is 50 years older than you. So when you hear young people coming in the rooms, and we'll talk more about recovery when we come back from break, they're old. They're all old in AA. They're all old. They're all old. But to you, that didn't seem to matter. If two people have the same addiction, then they can help each other
yeah.
no matter what the age is. So what attracted you to somebody over almost 50, 60 years older than you?
Well, she's so cute. She's
oh,
just so
I know. She is.
But I just like, there's like everyone in AA just I love so much because they help me out. And my sponsor is just like, she was there for me since mm-hmm. I walked in those doors. So
mm-hmm. So age doesn't have to be a barrier.
No.
If you want to get clean, you don't even look at their age, really.
Yeah.
So you came back in this time really wanting it sounds like.
Yeah. I didn't know I was going to stay sober this long, but now that I have my, like, I have my 3-month chip and everything, I'm about to get my 4-month chip, like, or not my 4-month chip, because you don't get 4-month chips then, but I'm about
some
to be.
Some meetings do monthly chips.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just would never want to go back to where I was 3 months ago.
And it is one
That's
joint away, isn't it?
For you to remember, the further you get away from your last drunk or high, the closer you get to one.
Yeah.
To wanting it.
Always remember what that was like being in that jail cell.
Mm.
You know, think it. That's what we hear in the meetings all the time. Don't think about the drink. Think about the drunk.
Yeah.
You know, think it all the way through. Mm-hmm. It's critical.
And like you said, you know, for you, any little thing, pot, pill, powder, alcohol, anything would trigger you again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that 100% is key for kids to know, and adults too.
And adults too.
Yeah, you know, they think they can try a little marijuana maintenance with their sobriety. It doesn't work.
But as soon as I fail a drug test, I'm back, and I'll be put in rehab. That's why he made my court date from a month before I turn 18, so I still have time to go into a rehab if I'm doing bad. So
they're really keeping an eye on you.
Yeah.
But that can't be the motivator. It seems like you like being clean.
Yeah, there's so many much more better things about being clean than there is about being high every day.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And you can remember what you did last night.
Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
I went to McGarry and spoke about drugs last
that's
night.
That's right. And you can look through the windshield instead of the rear view mirror all the time.
Yep.
Those little things are important.
You don't have anything to hide from your family.
No.
Right, nothing to
hide.
No secrets.
Yeah, and my family trusts me so much more now.
It was huge for me. I used to hide vodka in Diet Mountain Dews, and my kids would got to the point where they'd say, is it okay if I have a drink of your Diet Mountain Dew? Because they had accidentally took a slug and it had vodka in it. You know, it was so great to not have to worry what they...
Or drinking or reaching
that
into.
There wasn't anything to hide.
Right.
Yes, you can have a drink. You can go in my room. You can, please do.
God, what a nightmare when there's an addiction in the home.
The lies and the deception.
Yeah, for the kids,
insane,
the parents.
Insane. It's
your siblings.
Insanity.
Her little brother, oh my God, he is so cute. And he idolizes her.
And he's seeing you, I mean, you're modeling this recovery for him. That's incredible.
Yeah.
You're showing him how to work through, and that life doesn't stop. You can rebuild and become a productive member of society.
Yeah.
Carry the message, not the mess, right?
And what's cool is it's important to Chloe now to be a better sister,
sure,
a better daughter. Don't go away, Radio Rehab. We have to take a minute for our sponsors. We have a great discussion going today with Chloe, 17, and teaching Jane and I, and hopefully all of you, a lot that we need to know and hear about being in recovery as a teenager. We'll be right back.
African Americans Yesterday and Today, sponsored by Diversity Supply Company, Incorporated. Jerome Stewart, President.
And now, a moment in Black history. Paul Robeson. Paul was the first Black actor to play Othello on the American stage. A Phi Beta Kappa student at Rutgers, he attained the highest scholastic standing. He can speak all the modern European languages and Russian. He also reads 20 other languages, including Chinese. A renowned concert singer, he received a law degree from Columbia. He was a fighter for Negro rights during his early career.
WEOA, the most diverse radio station in the tri-state, is proud to announce two new exciting programs for our Hispanic friends in the community. Tune in every Saturday afternoon at 12:30 to the new 24/7 Dad's Hispanic program in Spanish, sponsored by the Juan Diego Latino Center. The half-hour show discusses life skills, parenting, and a host of other relevant topics. Conexion Thalia Radio Show. Thalia is a platinum-selling recording artist, internationally known, and nationally syndicated radio host. This popular two-hour weekly program comes to Evansville by way of WEOA every Sunday afternoon from 12 to 2 p.m. Thalia discusses music, fashion, and entertainment. See you this Sunday at noon for the Conexion Thalia Radio Show, sponsored by the Juan Diego Latino Center. Listen to the Doug Banks Show every weekday at 4:20 p.m. for your chance to win a $50 Fifth Third Bank gift card. Every daily winner will be entered in a drawing for $1,000 for themselves and $5,300 for a local charity of their choice from a list provided. The Fifth Third Bank $5,300 charity donation right here on 1400 AM WEOA.
This is my way to learn Spanish.
This is my way to learn French.
My way to learn Russian.
Italian.
Japanese.
My way.
My way.
Chinese.
My way to learn a foreign language.
The best way to learn a foreign language is your way.
Rosetta Stone invites you to try absolutely free our latest solution, new version 4 Totali software. Developed around the way you think and the way you learn, the same way you learned your first language. In fact, it's been recognized as the fastest, easiest way to learn a language, guaranteed.
It's totally my way to learn Spanish.
No classrooms, no boring drills, no useless memorization. It's a learning program that works around you, not the other way around. And right now, you can try it absolutely, positively free with a free demo CD-ROM.
Free. That's definitely my way.
Try the new version for Totali for free by calling 1-800-335-1656. 1-800-335-1656. For your free demo, call 1-800-335-1656.
You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400. Or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Hi, everybody. Glad you are hanging in here with us. We have a great discussion going with Chloe, who is a 17-year-old girl. And I think we have somebody on the air to ask you a question or a comment. Chloe, hold on. Hello?
Hello?
Hello.
This just happens to be Chloe's mom, and I promise I will not embarrass her. I'll try not to embarrass her.
Well, if you want to cry, Mom, we're used to it now.
I just want to say, and I can't say it enough, how great this is that, you know, of all the rescuing and trying that we did to fix this, it wasn't up to us. It was up to her wherewithal to find her way into the rooms of AA and to grab hold of it herself. And it is a family disease. I mean, everybody was affected. And I think once I learned to take care of myself and to improve the things that were definitely wrong in our whole family with me contributing to it, I did my thing and allowed Chloe to do her thing, and I think that's very important. Her stepdad and I go to Families Anonymous, and it has helped us so much to say, you know, I can't force her to do anything, and it was up to her, and she did it, and she owns it, and she's taught us so much in doing this and has met wonderful, wonderful people along the way who have always been supporting her and cheering her on, but we didn't understand. And AA truly understands that addictive nature and what it takes. So, Chloe, you're awesome. And you're my star.
Oh, we were just talking about how wonderful it is to give our parents some bragging rights.
Oh, she's given us plenty of bragging.
We're
so proud of her. And she's still 17, and we still knock our heads together sometimes. But to worry about, you know, gas money or what time, you know, you have to come home for dinner, that's wonderful.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
Isn't that the truth?
That's healthy, breaking apart from your parents, 17-year-old. That's not really fighting a life or death situation.
And
it's wonderful to see her bright eyes and her smile and that she's really in there because she's so bright and so talented.
Yes.
And I think that's what made me so angry, is to watch these drugs and pills be her god and absolutely devour her and to strip her from everything that was good and wonderful about her.
And then to, as a mother, not be able to do anything about it. Gretchen, what would you say to mothers that are listening, that are struggling with a child that they love more than life, that continues to relapse and put the whole family in harm's way? How would you answer to a mother that would be crying out?
I would say the hardest thing that I ever did was to just let go. Mm. To let go, not to coddle and, you know, fight for a lesser sentence at the court and everything else, that is not helping. That is not helping. Mm-mm. You have to let them face their consequences, because the sooner that happens, and it may not work, but what I was doing was not working either. And to continually rescue them from the situations they put themselves into only just feeds them more drugs. It just does not work. And listen to your gut. If your gut tells you something is not right, you know. Mm-hmm.
Would you and Martin be willing to come on and help us understand a parent's world? Okay,
absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely, and I won't cry.
Oh, that's okay if you cry. You can handle it. Can't wait, Chloe. She'll cry. Heck yeah, Martin might cry.
Yeah.
Well, that would be great. Where are the FA meetings around town if there are parents listening that want to try Families Anonymous? That'd be good for them to try.
It is absolutely wonderful. We have been going for a couple months now. We normally attend a Wednesday evening one that's at 7 o'clock. It's only about an hour. It's at Bethlehem UCC on Oak Hill Road. And you know, just show up, come, listen. And then Saturday mornings at 10:30, I believe, at Methodist Temple. And it's wonderful. There are people that have been there for years and years and years, and anybody that's affected by a loved one with an addiction, emotional problems, behavioral problems, anything, if you're just having problems and you don't know where to go, they understand. They understand, because I know for years everybody, so many people loved us and watched us all go through this, and you know, you hear, well, you ought to, well, you know, so a lot of normal things don't work.
Right, that's right.
About this kind of thing, and you get into these rooms with people who understand, and some of them have children who are in recovery, some of them have children who have relapsed, some have never found recovery. And you can't help anyone if you're not helping yourself. And it's a way to stay whole and not to completely lose yourself in this, and it allows you to give your child the freedom to fall on her face. Basically, it's what it is. And
that's amazing, because as counterintuitive as that is what it takes. Chloe, did you feel your mom was abandoning you through when she let go?
I mean, not really, but I don't really know how to explain it. I didn't feel like she was abandoning me. I can't even say the word. I didn't feel like she was doing
so
that.
So Gretchen, she didn't even notice it probably. She was so stoned at the time. But
I do think it stopped her often to see that my reaction was a little different than it had been before.
Sure.
You know, and she wasn't quite sure what was going on with me. But I feel now that the fact that I wasn't I had completely exhausted myself physically and everything else, and that was my problem. Mm-hmm. I mean, that wasn't it. She was lost in this, and and once I pulled myself back up from the gutter and decided, you know, this is her thing. She has to make this choice. Mm-hmm. I will find whatever resources I can, but it's up to her whether or not she wants to take it. I think I gained more respect from her than I had ever had before, because she was able to do it, and she did do it. Once I let her do it, she's a heck of a lot better at recovering than I was.
Than you were trying to push
her
into.
You know, I couldn't do it for her, and nobody can do it for anyone else any more than you can make somebody swallow. You cannot.
True.
Make somebody recover.
Well, you all are a beautiful family that has celebrated as a team recovery.
Well, we thank you, because you have been there along the way, and we so appreciate the work that you do and everybody else that's we should be doing. We couldn't have done it alone. We tried for way too long.
No, it takes all of us, and Mary Lou, too. It takes the whole village.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for calling, Gretchen.
Thank you, and Chloe, you're doing great.
She's awesome.
Okay, we'll see you later.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Wow, to be able to hear those words from your mom. I mean, she's been telling you that all your life. You're her princess, you know, you're her girl. But to be able to hear that, is that overwhelming to have somebody love you so much? I know early in recovery it's like, wow, all these people care about me, love
yeah,
me.
Yeah, but I'm happy that, because some people mm-hmm. like in AA I see that don't have like their family there for them. And like last week when I picked up my three-month chip, they were just like, so touched by my whole family being there. But like, I'm happy I have my whole family there for me, and I'm happy she can tell me those things now, and mm-hmm. I can talk to her about things. And
so in closing, how does a young person, because you always hear they're too old in AA, they're too old in AA, they talk too much about God in AA. How do you talk to other young people? I know you are getting ready to start a Teens Anonymous, maybe, with Brittany in Warwick County. How do you talk to teens about going to AA?
Just like I would tell anybody my story, to let anybody know that just AA has changed my life, and I've changed my life, my family's helped me change my life, mm-hmm. and just going through the stuff that you're, like, getting high every day is nothing. Like, you could have everything without drugs, so, and AA has help me with that. So,
mm-hmm. And you go to AA, you're committed to going, you have a sponsor.
Yeah.
So, you know, young people that are out there, parents that are out there that have to hear their young people whining about having to go to AA or NA, you know.
It's fun. All the people are nice there. So.
Yeah. And maybe with you, Chloe, it was you had the willingness. You were just ready. You were ready to do what you had to do.
Yeah, and it's scary when you walk in the rooms. I didn't talk for about 2 weeks, but now I talk at about every meeting, so.
Yep. Well, good. Thank you for coming. Will you come back?
Yes.
And I would love to have your mom and stepfather.
Yeah.
Because I think parents are crying out more than anybody.
Yeah.
To get some answers and some help with you guys. Well, thank you.
Thank
love you.
You.
You're awesome. Radio Rehab, wow, what an hour. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for calling. If you have any other questions, you can Facebook Radio Rehab, call this station. Chloe, we have a way to get to her if you want to talk to her or her mother, just about a teenager or a family in recovery, call the station. We want to be available to you. And we'll be back next Saturday, but between now and then, have a great Valentine's Day, and don't forget to do the next right thing.